too cold.
It's nice and comfortable here. So a couple of years ago, I was sitting at the Pesach Seder table. When it's not often I get to sit with family. My family's in New York. I'm in Chicago. I don't get to go back so much now. And I decided to ask a question. And I threw out this question to my family members. And the question was, can everybody please share, what's your Egypt? And I told them what I meant. What I meant by this question was, what do you feel are you limited by? What do you feel you're stuck with? Where in your personality do you feel that you just kind of can't get out of this mud, can't get out of this pit, wish you can like change the way things were, but somehow end up getting stuck in the same mud of your personality? There are some seats up here. Please feel free. There are a couple more seats and sources up here. Over here on the side we have seats. Because we're all family and we're all close, it was really interesting how everybody, including myself, shared something very honest and very real about what our little Egypt was and where we were stuck in our personalities and what aspects of ourselves we wish we could change. Well, it's been 10 to 12 years later, and I don't have secrets. I honestly can tell you I'm still in my same Egypt. I still have the same issues and the same struggles in my personality that I deal with and that I struggle with. And so what I want to explore with you today is this question of who is responsible to get me out of my exile and into my redemption. And we're going to aim to answer this question of who is responsible to get me out of my Egypt, out of my exile, and into my redemption by redefining the word responsibility. And I'm going to start with a little play on words. Responsibility, I'm going to say, is having the correct response. Okay? Usually we think responsibility, like who's responsible for this Neely Yarfekala lovely event? But I'm going to change that a little bit as to responsibility, having the correct response, as opposed to what? As opposed to a knee-jerk reaction. Sometimes in life will throw curveballs at us, like 20 times a day, 20 times a week. Life throws curveballs at us. And there's the classic knee-jerk reaction that we are comfortable with, that we are accustomed to, that feels right. And then there's the correct response, which is not necessarily the knee-jerk reaction. Is there a way, is there a technique, there will be today, that we are going to learn to help us align ourselves, not with the knee-jerk reaction, but to help us steer the boat and steer the ship of our lives away from those knee-jerk reactions, those areas in our personalities that keep us stuck sometimes, whether it's my being critical or being snappy or being angry or being lethargic or whatever aspects of my personality it is that I want to work on, is it possible to steer the ship of my life in that direction? Now, you know, there's two ways to move a ship. If there's a storm and lightning and thunder brewing over there, one thing you can do is jump out of the ship and you can like shove the ship in the right direction. It's hard. You're not going to get results really that way when you try to maneuver the external stimuli that way. But another thing you can do is go deep, deep inside the ship and find the steering wheel and try to navigate the boat to where you want it to go. There's a technique I'm going to learn with you today. It's a technique I actually just learned this month. It's called Ein Habdolach. Ein Habdolach, which is the description. It's how the, and I'm going to read the verses inside. It's a description of what the man looked like, the man that we ate for 40 days in the Midbar. This technique is based on the Zohar, and I myself just learned it. I took a 6-part course online given by a woman called Devorah Siso. The name of the course is Breakthrough 2. There's Breakthrough 1 and Breakthrough 2. I took Breakthrough 2. It's like a 10-hour course. And I'm going to give you, with her full permission, a 1-hour version of this technique, which she taught, based on the Zohar, called Ein Habdolach, which is meant to help us have the correct responses to life. So let's start by looking at some sources. The first source is the description of this of the man. The Haman, if you don't have a source packet, I see an extra one right here. The Haman is in Sefer Bamidbar, Kizeh HaGad, It looked like a coriander seed. Maybe you have it in your spice cabinet. Ve'eino ke'ein habdolach. It means, and it looked like eino ke'ein, as if it looked like bdolach. What's a bdolach? So if you look at Rashi, right underneath, habdolach, shem even tova, crystal. Bdolach is actually a very precious stone in foreign language, crystal, like what we know as crystal. So there's something very interesting about crystal. Crystal in and of itself doesn't really have any color. It's like transparent. But when you hold it up to the light, the scientists among you know how this works. There's this effect where you suddenly have all the colors. You see a little bit of purple, a streak of blue, beautiful streak of green, a little bit of red. But in and of itself, it doesn't contain color. The same thing with the man. It didn't really have taste. Maybe it had an original classic taste, the wafers and honey or something like that. But it could have the taste of anything you wanted it to have. It like didn't have any color, didn't have any taste, but it had taste. What? Whatever you want it to be. This technique, this Ein Habdolach, which the Zohar takes, and takes not just on the dinner plate of your dinner table, the man that's on your dinner plate, but on the plate of your life. On the plate of your life, on the plate of what your day-to-day life is going to look like. It's going to look like whatever you want it to look like, just like the man. What do you want the man to smell like? Pizza. Yalla, pizza. What do you want it to taste like? Chicken soup. Yalla, chicken soup. What do you want it to taste like? Lahmacun. Yalla, lahmacun. Those of you who don't know, gefilte fish. What do you want it to be? Whatever you want it to be, that's exactly what it's going to be. The same thing we're going to learn is what our lives, we're going to learn today, a technique the Baal Shem Tov elaborates based on this Zohar, what your life is going to look like. So, if you're like me, or like some many, many people that I know, and you like to complain, or let's say you like to accuse, because you know you did everything right, and it's those other people in charge, you just like messed it all up. Or let's say you like to get mean or bossy at around 5:30 p.m. or like maybe 5:30 a.m. Or let's say you like to give people the cold shoulder when you're feeling a little bit stressed out. Or let's say you're like some people I know who like mutter and curse under their breath when things maybe start hurting a little bit or when the pressure gets really, really tough. What this technique will tell you, and we're really going to look at the meat and potatoes, I'm giving you a little bit of an overview, is that, okay, so that's your little Egypt. That's your little pyramid. That's your Egypt. That's your little mud hut. You like to curse. You like to scream. You like to yell. You like to get angry. You like to accuse. You like to blame. You like to complain. Okay, good. So you know your Egypt. You know the panorama of kind of where you're stuck. So now what Hashem is going to do is he's going to give you maybe 1,000 scenarios so that you will be faced with those situations where you will want to scream, yell, curse, be angry, give the cold shoulder, fill in the blank, so that Hashem will try to elicit from you the correct response. You still don't respond correctly? Okay, tomorrow, take two. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. You will attract to yourself, the plate of your life will be full of entrees. And what will those entrees look like? Whatever it is that you are giving off. If you're giving off angry steam, impatient steam, critical steam, blaming steam, accusing steam, Hashem will give you on your dinner plate thousands of situations a day, those curveballs, and you will need to give the correct response to it. If you don't, like me, and if you respond with what the Zohar calls mochin de katnut, it's a Kabbalistic term, it's a term used in Hasidus, mochin de katnut. Literally, it means small-brained, Okay? Conceptually, it means you're just taking the situation at face value. You're just taking the kid at face value. What kid? You know the kid. My kid. He made me late this morning because of him. Because he didn't pack his bag last night, and he didn't choose his clean socks last night, and he didn't ask me to sign the permission slip last night. So today I'm busy doing all that, and now he made me late. No! He's a prop. He's a prop. He's a prop in designed for you to have the correct response. If I look at this kid with my mochin de katnut, my small brain, I'm just taking it at face value. Oh, this is a situation, he's making me late. But if I look at him with this knowledge of Ein Habdolach, which we're going to look at very systematically, and I'm going to give you steps and ability to identify, I'm kind of giving you a quick overview, then I will see that he's just a prop there for me to elicit the correct response. And as soon as I have the correct response, the prop will diffuse or no longer elicit in me this incorrect reaction. Caveat. Warning. Warning. Before we learn this technique, which we're about to learn together, which is really an eye-opener, I want to first make a caveat. I spoke to you about curveballs in life. Sometimes life will throw you curveballs or people that will annoy you. Caveat, says the Baal Shem Tov. Sometimes the annoying situations in life, it could be that they're self-inflicted because there are re'alim, there are literally poisons, today we would say maybe toxins, that we give to, let's say, for example, I gave you an example of a child. Sometimes we give our children re'alim, poisons. Today in modern times we would say maybe junk food. So let's say Shabbos afternoon, 5 p.m., you want to take a nap, kids are driving you up a wall. Oh, this is Hashem testing me. No. No, what'd you give your kid to eat at Kiddush? Well, 3 cups of soda, 2 slices of cake. Well, your kid's going to be off the wall. What do you expect? Your kid's going to be bonkers. Hasarat ra'alim. First step, before we even learn the deep techniques of going down into the ship, finding that steering wheel, navigating, we will learn the deep techniques and the nitty-gritty work. We will. But first step, says the Baal Shem Tov, if there's something you can do just to like eliminate the ra'al, eliminate the poison, eliminate the toxin, eliminate something obvious that you can eliminate, then do that. If your kids have had, I don't know, something that, you know, stimulates them, and then they go really, really, you know, bonkers on you and disturb you, it's not that, oh, Hashem is testing me, and how am I supposed to respond? No, just clear your pantry, or don't let them eat all this soda if you're going to try to take a nap, because this is what's going to happen. So step number one, are there obvious poisons, toxins that you can eliminate from the picture, and in that way, kind of take away those things, because sometimes it's not a curveball, it's just something you can easily eliminate by removing the toxins. Okay, that's the first piece I wanted to tell you. Now we're going to open up an essay by the Baal Shem Tov. It's right after the pasuk of the Bdolach, and it's called Torat HaMar'ot, the essay of mirrors. His entire essay, this one is adapted. The next piece from Baal Shem Tov is directly from one of his ma'amarim. This one is a little bit adapted. Mar'ot, mirrors. So what do you do when you made a French braid for your daughter or for your granddaughter, and she says, I can't see, I can't see. What do? You hold a mirror or your phone, okay? And you take a picture and you say, wow! What do you do when you, finished eating a barbecue and you think you have some ketchup on your face, but you don't know, and it's embarrassing to ask, you have ketchup on my face? So what do? You take out a mirror. You look in the mirror. The mirror is fantastic because it shows you blemishes which you would never be able to see otherwise, and which you yourself, you can't see because it's your own face. You can't see. It's a French braid. You can't see it. But if you look in the mirror, if somebody holds a mirror to your face, ah, ketchup, ah, a little bit of facial hair, ah, French braid, and then you know what to do. It's the magic of a mirror. Says the Baal Shem Tov, Torat HaMar'ot, Hashita Shelefaneinu, this method which we are about to learn, Nikret Torat HaMar'ot, is named the teaching of the mirrors. B'Torato Shel HaBaal Shem Tov, it's directly a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, Shekasher Adam Ro'e Ra B'Zulato. When you see something yucky, he says something bad, okay, I'm saying something yucky, in another person, ha-rezu hochacha, says the Baal Shem Tov, this is evidence, she-dugmat oto hara nimtza bo atzmo, that this icky thing that you're noticing in another person, she's so rude, she's so ill-mannered, she's so, I don't know, aloof, she's so, whatever it is that you notice about another person, says the Baal Shem Tov, what I would like to say, it's very likely, but he doesn't say that, okay? This is for the brave-hearted ladies. Hare hochacha, if you're seeing something in another person, the persons in your life, the events in your life, they are mirrors. Just like if you see something in the mirror, you don't wipe the mirror of the ketchup, you wipe your face of the ketchup. You don't go tweak the other person and say, ich, ich, says the Baal Shem Tov. All the ich that you see in other people, it's a mirror to show you the things in yourself. Ukma adam hamambit barai, and just like a person who glances into a mirror, im panav nekiyim, if your face is clean, en roi b'mare shum dofi, you will not see in the mirror any dirt, any ketchup, any blemishes, because there is none on your face, so the mirror won't reflect it back to you. Aval im roi lichluch v'ketem bari, but if you see stains and dirt in the mirror, ein ze ela mishum shepanav mitunafin, it's because your own face has some of that dirt on it. Ikar inyana shel shita zu, the essence of this approach, ulahagia lekinut pnimit, is to arrive at a brutal inner honesty. This is for the brave-hearted. To arrive at a brutal inner honesty, lecheshbon nefesh tmidi, and to a constant soul-searching and an inner repair, uleemunat zrufa, and to emuna b'Hashem yitbarach, shekol ma shemitrachesh b'chayai, that all these things, well, I said all, in the next paragraph I'm about to change it, not all the things that happened to me, almost all the things, and that's very significant, because there's going to be a chunk of things that happened to me that are not a reflection of anything that I'm doing, coming up. So in the meantime, most of what's happening in my life, eino ela shikuf, it is nothing but a reflection, shel olami hapnimi, of my inner world. It's Hashem saying, look, you're never going to see this on your own face, because we don't see ketchup on our own face. Hashem says, I'm going to show you somebody who's got the same ketchup on her face. And when you see, you're going to be like, ugh. But, wait. Do some inner soul work. Is it possible that you've got some of that in your, some of that, maybe not the 8.0 version, okay, but maybe the 1.0 version, do you have some of that in your own self? Kol hara she'ani nichsaf elav, all the bad and all the yucky things that I'm so grossed out by it, I just want this to end already. When I'm exposed to that kind of things, that it rubs me the wrong way, but often zeh acher, and any other, maybe you heard something and it grosses you out, maybe you see it in the park, eino ela hara shebikirbi, it's your own inner demon, it's your own inner dragon, it's your own things that you got to step up to the plate and sober up about. Acheret lo hayiti nichsaf elav bachutz, otherwise I would never be exposed to it. Hashem wouldn't have exposed you to it. I'm going to add to that in a moment. Kasher adam yaseh tahalich pnimi, when you do this inner work, and the Baal Shem Tov will help us soon, we're not ready for it, but he will give us 3 steps, and I will learn with you, I will not dismiss you until we learn the 3 steps, exactly what to do when you find yourself face to face with something, makes you cringe, it upsets you, somebody touched a wrong nerve, said something that makes you really upset, evoked an extreme emotional response, a really displeasing, I just want this yucky situation, how dare they? How chutzpatek? What nerve? When we respond like that, says the Baal Shem Tov, then there are steps that you can take that will help you bring to your to the forefront of your attention that maybe there's something inside that you yourself need to clean, and it might be something really, really deep down inside. Caveat number 2, warning. Here's a warning. Yesh lehizaher me'od. You got to be really careful with what you just learned. It's really, this mirror, you got to be really careful with it, because sometimes you have to take this mirror and put it in your cabinet and say goodbye. What does that mean? Yesh lehizaher me'od mehavana kitzonit be'inyan ze. You may not take this to the extreme. You may not take an extreme understanding of this. Like what? I just told you that whatever is on your plate is really a result of something that you are feeling, you are thinking. Whatever you see on the plate of your life, that's you. But it's not me. It's so yucky, it's so gross, it's so chutzpahdik, how dare they? No, that's you. But there are some things that are on the plate of your life. Yeshnam ein sof mikrim. There are many things, he says, infinite. There are infinite things, vehitrachashiyot, and events that will happen in your life, shel adam, hamechuyavim la'avor. It's not because of anything you did, and it's not because of anything that is a reflection of you at all. It's just that this is what you need to go through. דברים שבחייו של עם שהמחויבים לעבור עליו. You need to go through this in life. על פי חשבונות שמיים. This is a heavenly calculation, and this calculation is נעלמים לחלוטין מבינתו. It is completely hidden. You will not understand it. ולאו דווקא כתוצאה ישירה ממחשבתו. It is not because of anything you did or any blemish in yourself or anything you did wrong or anything you have to fix. Hashem is not showing you a mirror. I just taught you that most things that you see in life that bother you, that evoke an extreme emotional response, they are a reflection of something you yourself need to fix. Baal Shem Tov says, caveat, warning, there's some things, don't take this to an extreme, because there's certain things in life, we just have to go through them. And we just have to go through them. And they're not a reflection of anything that we did or anything that we have to work on. Hanistarot LaHashem. It's part of Hashem's mystical master plan of the world. Lizeher mechalila, God forbid, lefateach shum yishut ba'inyan. Don't overdevelop this idea. It has to be in balance. You cannot overdevelop this idea of this mirrors that we're about to learn. Atarabba, yeshnam mikrim rabim bahem aleinu lidabek be'emunah pshuta. Says the Baal Shem Tov, some things you just have to have raw emunah. בבחינת לא מחשבותיי, מחשבותיכם. Hashem says, I do things and you're not going to get them. ולא להסתבך, and don't get too involved in trying to figure everything out. But, so I'm not talking about those things. I'm not. What I'm talking about, what the Baal Shem Tov is talking about, are those repeated struggles, those repeated issues, those repeated things that you keep attracting, you keep pointing out, you keep, how come I keep noticing these like show-offs? Mm-hmm. How come I think that so many people are show-offs? Welcome to your world. How come I attract this kind of energy to me? How come I never attract like those people to me? How come I always attract those people? Because it's like the man, it's like the crystal. That's what you're thinking is exactly what you're going to attract. See, the body has a language, and we understand the language of the body. For example, in your stomach, it means I'm hungry. Body speaks to me. Gotcha. Okay. Parched mouth, a little bit of dizziness. It means I'm thirsty. Give me water. Okay. Pain in the upper right quadrant of my left toenail. It means ingrown toenail. Go to your local podiatrist. Okay. Like your body has a language. You understand it and you respond accordingly. Your soul also has a language. It has a language, but we don't think of it as a language. We're not used to thinking of the following, I'm going to give you a couple of examples, things as being soul language. If you find yourself having outbursts a lot, extreme emotional responses. There are certain things which in me, they evoke an extreme emotional response. Everybody else is like, cool as a cucumber, doesn't bother them. They're like, oh yeah, no problem. And I'm stressing and I'm sweating it. How come nobody else is sweating it? So that's your soul telling you, hello, there's something you need to tend to over here. It's a little bit of a raw spot, a little bit of a raw nerve. Something needs a little bit of addressing, please, a little bit of tidying up. And so sometimes Hashem will send you a scenario in life that you'll bump into and like a wound, it hurt me so much. The touch, the fact that you encountered the stimulus, it's not the stimulus that's hurting you. Because just like if, God forbid, you have a burn on your hand, God forbid, a third-degree burn on your hand, a touch, it hurts. It's not the touch, it's the wound. Because the same touch over here, so nice, do it more. Okay, the same touch over here, you giggle. It's not the touch. It's not the external stimulus. It's the wound. Because the same touch on any other part of your body, it doesn't evoke that kind of response. Kind of like, for those of you who have big walk-in closets, I don't, but I think about them sometimes. But if you have a big walk-in closet, I imagine them with, let's say, many, many, many drawers. So imagine big walk-in closet, 15, 20 open drawers, clothing spilling out everywhere. I have 5 boys, I know what that looks like. And let's say you have hangers all over the floor, and sometimes you walk into this walk-in closet and you jab yourself in the corner, ow! And then you step on, ow! And this, ow! So what is this closet telling you? Hi, can you please tidy me up? Sure. Fold some things? Yeah. Do a little bit of weeding? Mm-hmm. Tidy up and close it back up. So sometimes you're going to bump into an external stimulus in life. Ow! You! And you start screaming at the stimulus. No, the stimulus is your friend. Sometimes the things, this is a really raw sentence, sometimes the things that kind of come to hurt you, they come to heal you. Because they're telling you, this is where it hurts, this is where you need a little bit of work, this is where you need a little bit of work, this is where you have an extreme emotional response. You see that extreme emotional response? That's your soul. That's your soul. And again, this is really a 10-hour course. If you do the course, again, her name is Devorah Siso. I'm giving you really just an overview that, yes, your soul has a language. And sometimes when you find yourself, you know, crying out of nowhere, everything was going fine, I'm crying and crying and crying, I'm so, so sad, or I feel so disconnected from everyone, I can't crack a smile, I can't host people, I don't want to be with anybody. Your soul is telling you, I'm hurting right here, I need something to be addressed in this area. So rather than lashing out at the stimulus, take the stimulus and be like, oh, maybe I'm feeling a little bit underappreciated, because that's kind of where is this extreme emotional response coming from? Maybe I'm feeling a little bit underappreciated. Maybe I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Oh, can you kind of address that? Okay, let me go in there. Let me address that. Tuck away some clothes, you know, make it nice, fold things up, put it in, close the drawer. That's your soul talking to you. But it gets worse, okay? That was easy, what I just told you. That was easy. It gets a lot harder, okay? Says the Baal Shem Tov, to really, really, really be able to use the stimuli of your life and to use them and not get angry at them, you got to do the following 3 steps. So I'm going to preface a little bit by sharing something a little bit personal. Some time ago, Shabbos afternoon, I went to the park. And it was just me and my little one, and I don't know, I wasn't even planning to go to the park, just taking him out for some air, and I took the long way around the block, walked 7 blocks, and said, oh, the park is over there, so I went to the park, and la 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 la, okay, I'm pretending to be an involved mother, it's Shabbat, you don't have your phone, I only got a phone a few months ago, you should know, I'm the last woman on earth who held out without a phone. Okay, long story short, I'm about to leave, and then he saw this big slide, he went on the big slide, and suddenly into the park walks this woman. I was so taken by her. She was so pretty. She was so beautiful. She had also like a headscarf, and I really loved the way she did her scarf. And she was so beautiful. I couldn't take my eyes off her. Like, she was so like royal and regal, and she walked with like, wow. And I loved the dress she was wearing. If I could fit into it, I would wear it. And I was very, very taken by her. And she walked in with her little kids, and her kids were kind of playing. And then everything changed because she opened her mouth and she started interacting with her kids, and it was so awful. It was horrible. She was like spewing venom at them. She was so mean to them. They weren't doing anything wrong. I got kids. Like, I know when kids are misbehaving in the park. They were just like doing the jungle gym and climbing in the monkey bars. And she was so mean to them, and she was spewing, complaining, criticizing, and harping. And I wanted to cry. I wanted to run away. I couldn't. I was so embarrassed. I'm like, lady, there's people in the park looking at you. Like, you can't. I didn't say anything. Of course, she's a total stranger. I don't know from a hole, though. I don't know her name. She doesn't know why. I'm not going to say anything to her. But she was so, wow, she was spewing all the stuff at her kids, and it wasn't really so necessary. Like, okay, her kid was climbing maybe a bit. She wasn't saying, honey, that's too dangerous. Like, she was really mean, and then she went with her baby to the baby swing. It's like, thank God. And then baby started crying. Of course, baby's drinking up mom's energy, and the kids were like, you know, quickly doing their fun. And then mom came back, and she's like, no, children who don't behave well don't get to stay long in the park. And like, they weren't doing anything wrong, and I'm very personal with you. So I was like, I really gotta go now. So I took my little one, I put him in the stroller, and I looked up to the heaven. I said, okay, step one. I'm about to teach you step one. Step one. Rashid, the first thing you do when you come face to face with something that elicits the reaction of like, ew, how dare she? How could she? That's not good. That's not good parenting, or that's not the way you talk to your spouse, or that's not... It elicited a very, like, strong reaction in me of, like, ew, how dare you? I just want this to be over. First thing you do, Rashid, Al-Ha'adam, says the Baal Shem Tov, I'm now on the next page, which starts, Eilu hem shlavei ta'alich ha-ripui ve-hanikui lefi ha-shita hazu. The following are the three steps to help us clean out those character traits in ourselves which we want to clean out according to the shita of the Baal Shem Tov called mirrors, which says that everything that happens to your life is actually a reflection of something that to some degree or other is a reflection of your own self. Reshit al Adam lehodot leboreit barach. Step number one, you say thank you Hashem. For what? Al kach shezimen lo ba'avata ototo me'ora. Thank you for bringing this person to me. Thank you for bringing this situation, this event, this circumstance to me. Shlili, this is a negative thing, yeah, that just occurred to me. Al mnat sheyuchal letaken et atzmo. Now I see what I need to work on. Okay, ladies, sometimes I'm not so nice, okay? Especially at bedtime, or breakfast time, or homework time, or dinner time, or bath time, or Erev Shabbat time. Sometimes, maybe not the 8.0 version, maybe the 10.0. Sometimes I could be not nice. Sometimes I could also spew my version of, you know, the thing. Sometimes I'm not so nice. But because the ketchup is on my face, I don't see it. Because according to my interpretation, you know, they're not listening, and this is not when one is not helping, and this is still dirty, and if 20 guests coming over, and the house looks like tornado, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's all very justified. It's all very justified when I spew my venom, yeah? And Hashem says, well, you can't see your own ketchup on your face, so I'll show you somebody else who I identify. Why do I identify? I don't know her name, but I really thought she was beautiful, and she really struck me, right? I couldn't take my eye. I loved her dress. She covered her hair the same way that I loved her earrings. Like, I identified with her, yeah? So look at the ketchup on her face, Nchon? Mm-hmm. And then look at the ketchup on your own face. So number one, don't do this. Oh, how dare she? Stop. She's a mirror. Look at your own self. Step number one, say thank you, Hashem. Step number two, oh my God. לאחר מכן על האדם להתחרט. חרטה, regret, remorse. Remorse. Feel remorse. בפני השם לקח שוז שיצא ברובת מסוים את הרע המתראה אליו בחוץ. You're the one who kind of, you know, in the outside world, they speak a lot about the law of attraction, okay? So this is like the Baal Shem Tov's version of it. You attracted this to you because this is what you're doing. This is in some version, 2.0, 8.0, this is what you yourself are doing. By the way, girls, this was really easy what happened in the park because it wasn't my husband. Because it wasn't my mom. God bless them, they're great. It wasn't my kids. It wasn't my boss. It was this strange lady. But what if it was someone really close to home that starts evoking the response in me like, oh, how dare you? You can't say that. You can't do that. That's not... What if somebody much closer to home starts, I'm not talking about abuse, I'm talking about the regular day-to-day things that bother us, that rub us the wrong way, that evoke an extreme emotional response in us. What about then? It's harder to say than to Hashem. Hashem, thank you so much for having the person say what they did to me. It's hard. It's easy when it's a lady in the park because it doesn't hit close to home. For the lady in the park, it was easy for me to do step one. It was hard for me to do step two. Step one is thank you, Hashem, for bringing it to me. That was easy. Okay, it's harder to do it when it's somebody close to home. It's much harder because then you have to say thank you, Hashem, for what? For the fact that they instigated this thing which was so unnecessary, which was so out of place, which was so not appreciative, which was so not recognizing the wonderful person that I am around that, right? So then it's harder to say thank you, right? But saying this thank you, it will help you. It will help you diffuse your anger at that person and to see them as a prop. To see them as a prop that is now being brought into the forefront of your vision to evoke a correct response. That's Ein Habdolach. That's the crystal eye, yeah? Ein Habdolach. That's what the man looked like that crystal. Literally, the Ein Habdolach means like crystal, literally means the crystal eye, according to the Zohar. You gotta look with a crystal eye, right? To see the things that are happening to you is because that's what you're attracting. That's what you got inside of you. And that's why you're attracting that. So we said, thank you, Hashem. Step two, we said, remorse. Remorse. Understand that this is what you're going through. This is something that's happening in your own inner panorama. This is something that you have to work on. So what? That's it, remorse, and I fixed it. You know, ladies, remorse works. The Rambam says in Ilchot Shua, when you have remorse over something, it's a bell or something? It's okay. When you have remorse uproots. It doesn't undo, but it uproots. It uproots the good things you do too. The Rambam says it straight out. When you do something good, and then you have remorse, chaval, I wish I didn't die because I missed the phone call, and then I... Okay, so you have remorse, you have real remorse. It's like you didn't do it. The Rambam says it straight out in Ilchot Shuvah. And the Rambam is not talking from Kabbalah and Abdolach. He's talking rational straight out. If you regret something, it undoes it, the good and the bad. That's why the Rambam says, don't ever regret a mitzvah that you did, even if you lost that as a result. Because you regret, you undo it. So here, that works in your favor. Remorse, regret. It could undo the negative energy of the negative energies that we created from our incorrect responses. Step one, thank you, Hashem, for bringing this person, situation, scenario into my life. Okay. Step two, oh my God, that's me in some way, shape, or form, version 2.0, 8.0, right? Regret. And expand on it as much as you need to. You know, work on that. Take a couple of minutes, but not too many minutes. Here's why. Because there's step three. And step three says, don't spend too much time analyzing. Every time you are like the lady in the park, I messed up my kids, I screwed them up for life, they're going to be all this, they're going to be all that. Oh my God, you're going to dig a grave for yourself. Okay? And if we had time, maybe next year, I would show you why that is so dangerous to go down that path. Do not overanalyze this and find every single time that you had. No. It's not something that has to take 25 minutes. It's not something that you should start analyzing and digging up every piece of dirt because you're going to dig a grave for yourself because it's going to make you feel depressed and anxious and angry and no. It's just like you brought it to the forefront of your mind. Oh my God, that's a reflection. Yeah, I kind of do that too, right? Regret. But don't go too deep into that. Okay, now the Baal Shem Tov goes on with a metaphor. If he didn't say it, I would never say it. But he said it, and I love a good metaphor, and it's so raw. I'm going to share it with you. Kefi, just like, I didn't read it to you, number three. Gimel. L'achar mikan al adam l'itchazek b'munah shlema shekitotza me'avodat ha'tshuva sheyaseh achan yisayeh lo Hashem itbach lenekoto. You have to have tshuva, so you have to have emunah, that Hashem will help you. You don't have to sit and analyze every time you were mean to your kids, every time you screamed, every time you yelled. Just have emunah that Hashem sees that you're going to work on this and that you understand why He sent this person who hurt you. Ah, I wish this would stop, to help heal something inside of you. And have emunah that God's going to help you here, okay? It's not all... You don't have to go fasting for 20 years now. Kefisha ein... This is where it gets a little bit raw. Kefisha ein atinok muda lekach shemenakim oto. Just like a baby who has a dirty diaper. I'm sorry, Zabal Shem Tov, it's not me. 5 more minutes? 2? Two? Okay. Just like the baby, I'm almost done. Just like the baby that has a dirty diaper. Baby doesn't... I'm sorry, the Baal Shem Tov said it, not me. I'm sorry. He doesn't know what's in his diaper, Nachon. He doesn't... You know how like a one-year-old, he doesn't know that you're... what you're doing when you're cleaning him. He knows nothing, really. He knows, there's mommy, cuckoo, caca. And, you know, mom's like cleaning the diaper, or dad, or whoever. Ein hatinok, says the Baal Shem Tov, muda lekach shemenakim oto. The baby doesn't know what you're doing over there. I'm sorry, it gets worse. Umalich lucho. Baby doesn't know what's in the diaper. Mommy knows. Blueberries, sweet potatoes. I know what's in the kid's diaper, okay? But the baby doesn't know. You just know, okay, there's something in there, okay? You're aware, okay? Step one, step two. But you don't know. You don't have to know every single... No. You don't have to know everything. Ein ha'adam, here we go. What is this talk about the diaper? Ein ha'adam chayav lehakir bepo'al et kol hara hatzavur betocho. You don't have to go and find and unearth and dig out every schmutz and every piece of dirt, okay, that's in your kishkes that you have inside of you. It's enough that you brought it to your awareness. Oh my God, that's me. And ladies, if I have any... alternative doctors in here, you'll vouch for me. You know, when you start to detoxify, whether like physically or spiritually or emotionally, like we're doing, when you start to like detoxify and work on the things that you need to work on, so like the liver, which is storing all the toxins, it's like, oh, whoa, she's detoxing. Okay, we're going to start dislodging all these toxins, okay? Right? And then you start dislodging the toxins and you're going to eliminate them, right? But before you eliminate them, they're going to be roaming around in the bloodstream. And doctors will tell you, it's called a Herx, you can look it up, it's called a Herxheimer syndrome. A person is, or Herxing for short, when you're Herxing, Herxheimer syndrome is the toxins are leaving, but before they're exiting your body, they're roaming around in your blood. So you're going to feel gross and lethargic and tired and weak and slumped out, and you're not going to feel so awesome. Same too with spiritual detox. When you're going to start working on these character traits, you will see resistance in life. God is going to send you those curveballs, okay, where it hurts. I'm telling you because I'm doing it as we speak. Where it hurts. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be like, ah! And you're going to have that extreme emotional response where you're like, whoa, the whole thing with the mirrors. Hashem is showing me a mirror. Okay, thank you, Hashem. Oh, this is really hard for you to say. Thank you for... Sometimes it takes me 5 minutes to like, okay, thank you. Yes, thank you for sending this circumstance my way. And then to do I do that? And then sometimes it takes some time for me to, yeah, I do. Don't dig too much, right? You don't have to know everything that's in the diaper. Step three, Hashem is going to, right, help you to, but you will see resistance, okay? And it might get worse before it gets better because you're detoxing, you're working on it. So those things are going to gurgle up to the forefront in all their glory. And then little by little, small steps, little things that bother you, little things that irk you, little things that annoy you, little things that will evoke those responses, you'll see them differently, and you'll be able to eliminate them in that way. Last two words says about Shem Tov and this Shitan. This is a beautiful way of summarizing everything we said today. By the way, ladies, if the emotion that's evoked in you, like the lady that I saw in the park is... Miskena, I feel so bad for her. I have such compassion for her. Wonder how she's... I did not respond that way. I was like, yeah, okay. But if the emotion that you're evoking is like compassion, and you want to daven for her, and you just kind of feel bad for her, I wonder how she's coping. That means you don't have that in you, mm-hmm. says the Baal Shem Tov. I should have told you that earlier. Mm-hmm. There's one of two responses, okay, that you can have. If when you are face to face with something, and it's not so nice, but your reaction to that is, hey, they're going through something hard now. They must have had a hard day. I feel if compassion is evoked, you don't have that problem. That's not something that you're struggling with. But if you're like me, okay, I'm like, ah, I can't wait till this is over.
me this is awful, this is terrible parenting. Doesn't she read the self-help books in the library? Like, okay, that was my reaction. Okay, that means, honey, catch up on your own face. You have to work on it. So that is the third caveat. That's the third. Anytime you find yourself Xing somebody out, okay, kola posel be mumo posel. But if you're like, well, miskena, why, she probably had a hard day. You don't have that. You don't have that. Because that's Geula. That's, she said, why is the title Exile and Redemption? Really, because I didn't have a good title and that was brought up. So, because honestly, that's your personal redemption.
But what's the exile?
The exile is being angry all the time, being snappy, being critical, being the character traits that you want to work on.
The negativeness.
Yes, that negativity, that's Geula. When you're done with that, thank you.
What about